Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is make the leader in you come alive.
Welcome to the show. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for joining us. Friends, no matter if you're the president or the secretary of state, no matter if you are a leader or a follower, no matter the role, you have a purpose and you're a leader in that purpose. And our goal here is simple, to inspire and equip and help all to lead where they are. In other words, get us on cue with God's will and on cue with his calling in our lives, which is our purpose, and get others on cue with that purpose. What is cue? It's how Nehemiah, a model transformational leader, led of starved, desperate, isolated, and broken people in building a wall and closing the gaps around ancient Jerusalem. And the way he built a way of life, he see you eat them up. C is for common ground. It's what we can agree on. It's the why we've come together. U is unified thought. What vision can we share is the what we intend to do, what the future looks like. And E, equally, what's the game plan? What success look like? What's our role in it? Is how we're going to do this together. So Q leadership generally integrates biblical principles of leadership using Nehemiah as a model and helping you to do two things. One, get people to trust you. And two, get people to follow you in discipleship. So trust and discipleship are at the very axis of leadership. As we always do, we want to start our show with a prayer. Lord, you are powerful, merciful, living, loving God, our internal Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, lead and bless this ministry and our audience and all that are serving you. Lord, we know that this Q leadership is your brainchild, but our calling in your name. We honor you today by doing two things. One, giving you the glory, and two, serving this generation through Q. Lord, your word shares in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. Lord, please use this ministry to complete that purpose, and that my calling and our calling and aligning and equipping and transforming new leaders for your glory, helping the others hear the call, receive their call, and help us to raise some transformational leaders, some gatekeepers in your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. What to expect today as we start our show? As always, we like to have a dialogue, a conversation about leadership based in God's word. Equip leaders to with a roadmap to tap into faith and building trust and building discipleship. And we try to highlight everyday leaders who are making a difference that can testify to God's goodness and in their own transformation in their own right. Our show is a lot of things, but it is not to criticize, but to shine some light on some truth and love. It's not to tell you what to do, but provide a different lens in order to see things and not to focus on mere symptoms of a problem, but get to the root of the problem. Try to treat the infection and not the runny nose. So today, as with any day, especially with today, let's be open. Let's pray that we hear the Lord and not me. Have the right questions as we go through have this dialogue. No matter what those questions, no matter what the differences may be, remember that this life is about love and surrender. And there will be differences of opinion, but let us do what a true transformational leader says. Let us agree without being disagreeable. At the end of the day, let's be thought partners and have a fruitful dialogue. And as you know, in the last few weeks, President Obama's decisions to expand the war against the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, known as ISIS, has entered a new phase, and even from just air support and bombs to potentially to deployment of troops to Iraq. You know, ISIS has become a household name to many. And although the president was reluctant to get involved in the Syrian conflict a year ago, this Islamic take, this advances and the brutality they've shown has forced him and others, and even this nation, to act. Over 1,000 airstrikes over Syria have said to have weakened the terrorist group, have said to weaken. And then there's a lot of studies that analyze the threat posed by the Islamic State in Iraq and beyond. But what is ISIS or ISIL? Is the rise of the Islamic State? It can be tracked back to 2001 when this Islamic extremist Abu Musa Bakr-Sakhawi, joined forces with Al-Qaeda. And as this ISIS is the present-day incarnation of Al-Qaeda in so many different ways, and is basically kind of broken off with what the reports tell us, and there's different fashions of it, with the same stated goal, though, to create this Islamic State governed by Sharia law, and as well as encompasses areas Syria and Iraq, and taking advantage at this time of the unsettled political and security environments in both of those countries, this state has been able to galvanize recruits. And not only galvanize recruits in the area, but in other countries, we've seen reports of young ladies from Europe leaving, I think it was London, going to join ISIS, as well as reports from people from the U.S. doing the same thing. And ISIS also secured extensive amount of revenue, not only just taking over states, but also weapons as well, and achieving a larger territorial gains in 2014. But, you know, regardless of wherever your politics land on this, and as this show is not really about that right now, but we all should have questions. Really, the biggest question for me, will our children, their children, and their children be fighting the same war from generations from now? And the question has become, is how to fight ISIS, because no one, no matter what we think about who's in leadership or not in leadership, who's the cause of this or whatever, no one is exempt from these ideas of spreading their religion and other aspects across this country, no matter what the result. And some say this is random, but I say this has been purposeful. But up until now, we have been using, we have used and are using, and using bombs, bullets, money, and even bribes at times, technology, coups, and diplomacy to fight this terrorism activity, not only just in our nation, but also across the world. But the question is this sustainable? Is there another path? What has history taught us anything, and what to do? And really the biggest question is how to fight an idea. In my humble opinion, it is impossible to fight this with just bombs and bullets. And there's a cycle of, say, violence, no matter where its side comes from. There's victims after that violence. And after that violence, there are recruits, no matter what side you're on. And then after that, after the new recruits, there are more violence and more victims and more recruits. And each incite actions of the other in a vicious, vicious cycle. And there's how do you break that? And there has to be another course of leadership on this, and or even just new insights, which really leads to our question of the day. Do leaders fight with insight, INCITE, or insight, INSIGHT? So really that's our question of the day, and helping us with that as we continue our awakening series, and this is what these questions are about, really awaken us to different things that are happening. And with our regular on-cue duo, these are two of my favorite people in the world. I truly love the Smith brothers, Nehemiah and Jock Smith. Both are always raising the consciousness of wherever they are, providing a voice to the world and those who are voiceless in so many different ways. The Reverend Nehemiah Smith is also, he's the editor-in-chief of the Weekly Defender. And his brother, Jock Smith, he's a man of God himself, and father, husband, engineer, both always operate in the theater of ideas. And both have been sharpening, we've been sharpening each other's iron since we met each other in late 1999. And it's truly, truly always blessed. If you ever heard us, you would think that sometimes we are friends or foes, but we understand about having a dialogue, constructive dialogue, and even sometimes we may disagree on things, but we know we love and surrender to ourselves and Lord Almighty first more than anything. So they're always, always filled with great insight, and they're always blessed to have them. So after the break, we'll start our dialogue with our special guest, the Smith brothers, who will help us answer the question of the day, do leaders fight with insight or insight? And so during the break, stay with us. Call us at 310-861-2331 to ask the question. You can press 1 on your telephone that raises your hand virtually, and and my daughter Kennedy can bring you into the conversation. You also are welcome to log into our live chat room to share what's on your mind, and Kennedy can chat with you there as well and bring you to the dialogue. So, friends, we would love to hear from you. Please call us again at 310-861-2331. This is UnQ. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
Lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the queue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
And we're back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, to help you lead where you are by giving On Cue with God's will. Today's question: do leaders fight with insight or insight? And we're talking about the idea that, ISIS, the terrorist group, that whose wreaking havoc across this globe in the recent times. So helping us with that is always you. So please call us at 310-861-2331. But helping us with that is, as we continue our Awakening series with our On Cue duo, we always love to have the two of our favorite people we love dearly, the Smith brothers. It is Brother Reverend Nehemiah Smith and Reverend Jock Smith, who is always operating in the Theater of Ideas. They're regular guests. If you haven't heard them before, you'll be in for a treat, and as well as and also some deep conversation. These parties conversations we've had over plenty of times, and even especially over some dominoes over the years, as I would always put them to sleep whenever I'm done playing with them. So let's give them a round of applause. Brothers, welcome.
How you doing, man?
What's going on, man?
I'm doing great.
Hey, real quick, you must be still sleepy because you call me Grammar.
That's right. He ain't no preacher.
Y'all see what I mean. But hey, thanks, brother, for joining us today. As we always do, I know you probably at some point get tired of answering this question, but these questions, we got to make sure our audience know, especially those who haven't tuned in before, know more about the Reverend Nehemiah and Brother Jock Smith. So, Brother Jock, let's start with you. What does that one word describe you? And then number two, what would, if money's no issue, what would you do every day?
The one word would be fortunate.
Say that one more time.
Fortunate.
Fortunate. Okay.
Yeah. Fortunate to be blessed by God and still be here on this earth, trying to make a difference, brother.
Trying to make a difference. You know, before you answer that second part, I know something shifted in the last year and a half. It was persistent before. So why shift?
I guess over time you find out that, you know, persistence only goes so far, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to come to grips with the fact that, hey, despite your persistence, you are fortunate, you are blessed.
Amen.
To be doing what you're doing and you know, to be here. So,
amen.
That's the shift.
Absolutely. So if money was no issue, what would you do every day?
Teach.
Teach.
I would teach, yep. I really would.
Absolutely, because you two come from a long line.
Oh, yeah.
Of teachers and educators, and not only family, but community from a broad perspective.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And Reverend Nehemiah, let's let the audience hear from you. What is that one word that describes you, and if money was no issue, what would you do every day?
The one word would be fighter.
Fighter. Okay.
Yeah, you gotta continuously fight against injustice and just different foolishness that's going on around you. You know, you have to sometimes you're the lone voice in the wilderness, but when you know that you're on the side of right, you have to continue to fight that would seek to hinder the progress of people around you. And so, you know, it's just, you know, it's always a fight out there. It's always something that you have to get into to kind of, you know, keep things straight. So, you know, fight them.
Keep things straight. Absolutely. So if the money's no issue, what would you do every day?
Oh, just feed people. Feed people. There's so many hungry people out there that need to eat, that need food. And that would be the thing that I would do is just feed people, especially, you know, children and just those people that are not as fortunate as we are. You know, feed them. You know, they need food. People need sustenance. So
yep.
If money was no object, I'd feed people.
Feed people. And not only just the physical, but the spiritual too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, Reverend Nehemiah, I'm going to take a little short detour. And want to talk about the Weekly Defender. Could you share to the audience a little bit about that? And then just tell us about what was your top story this week?
The Weekly Defender is going to its fifth year. This is our fifth year in business. We are a African-American weekly newspaper. We are now looking to expand into two other entities, two other defenders, one in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, and one in Fayetteville or Cumberland County, North Carolina, and using or having college students from Elizabeth City Mass Comm Department and from Fayetteville State University Mass Comm Department to head those papers in those areas. And it would alleviate a lot of stuff that we would have to do at the main paper and give those people in the area an opportunity to find out what's going on locally as well as what's going on, you know, around us. So that's what we are involved in right now.
Well, congratulations on this fifth year. Time flies, doesn't it?
We're having fun.
Yeah, no doubt. So what was one of your top stories this week? Just to give the audience.
We talked about the med student in New London, Connecticut, who was tased to death. The black med student who was tased to death by police in New London, Connecticut. That was our top story this week. And it is just it has been a brutal year for black men in America and in their dealings with policemen, the police departments across the country. I think that it has just shed a light on the fact that the more things change, the more they stay the same, and that there is a disconnect, a major disconnect between police and the African American community. Obviously, what you're talking about tonight, Insight and Insight, INCITENINSIGHT, that there is very little INSIGHT when it comes to what is going on in the black community as far as police departments are concerned. And in the process, they INCITE, a lot of instances that could be very well avoided if they had INSIGHT.
Yeah, I agree. We've covered that on a few shows, but, you know, you would agree that, you know, it is appropriate for what we're going to talk about today. But, you know, I think we all, on even on both sides, got to make sure that we recognize those two words and we recognize our actions around those as well. And I definitely agree there's a disconnect, but, you know, that's why we're here, to kind of bring some of this together, ask some of the questions, and even drive to some solutions in order to bridge that disconnect in so many different ways to provide some insight so we can stop that insight, INSCITE, as you pointed out. You know, but related to that, Brother Jock, you know, we're talking about the insight of terrorism across this nation, across this globe, and as we see this happening, you know, more and more during our lifetime, you know, more and more that we talk about the future of our children and so forth, more and more you think about how long will we continue to have to fight this fight, you know. So when you see this on television, when you see this in the news, you know, what's the first thing that pops in your mind when it comes to terrorism?
That is not new.
Not new.
This is
right.
It's not new. I mean, it's been done all across the world, in different countries, different regions. This particular fight that you're talking about today is one that we all know is you know, centuries, if not thousands of years old. The fact that we call it terrorism today doesn't change that. I mean, it's just it's not new.
Not new.
I think that's what, you know, it can become tiresome, to say the least, at times. But that's what I think of when I see it, is that this is not new.
This is not new. You're so right, and it's a good way to put it. And it really draws on the fact, you know, if it's not new, you know, what can we learn from our past? Or what type of things can we understand what's happening in those instances before? And, you know, and Brother Nehemiah, Reverend Nehemiah, what comes to my mind when I hear that, so, you know, after, as it's not being so new, can bombs and bullets win such a war, or used to be fight such a war as that we're seeing today?
Well, I think that first, before you can even begin to talk about bombs and bullets, you have to first talk about the INSIGHT, the insight. Our very language when dealing with ISIS and dealing with other groups like ISIS, is that our vocabulary is muddled. And what do I mean by that? We call them Islamic extremists, which for me is an oxymoron. It's the same thing as if you know, And what I mean by that is that the very word Islam means peace. So how is it that they are Islamic extremists if they are doing something so evil? I don't look at them as Islamic at all. I look at them as being just terrorists. They're not Islamic terrorists. They're terrorists. They are evil people who are hiding behind or trying to use the religion of Islam to further their cause. But in the end, they're no more than mere thugs. They are terrorists. They are people who they are inhumane. So that's the first thing. I think that we have to first correct our vocabulary when we refer to these evil people, to these terrorists. And no, I don't believe that bombs and bullets will solve the problem. It is, the president has said that he would prefer a more diplomatic approach, talking to some of the people in the different areas to try to find out what the root of the problem is. And that is the process of being or becoming insightful. You can tell by the very conversations that you hear on the news shows, the news talk shows, that not even the talking heads, that's what Jock and I call them, not even the talking heads have a clear understanding of the nature of these people. And at the same time, they do not, this country, does not want to lay hold or lay claim to its own culpability in the cultivation and the in the cultivation of this particular type of terrorism that we see now. We have a culpability in this rise in terrorism and extremism across the world. So, no, I don't think you can, but I think we first have to be insightful, and being insightful is a process. We have to understand what is going on and the very rudiments or the root of what, you know, how these people came about.
Yeah, so I hear you on understanding, making the vocabulary, as you said, vocabulary is being muddled or labeling in such a way, and I understand the whole notion about Islam in the show is not to drag the religion through the mud. It's not really about that today, but at the same time, you know, regardless of what they're called, if it's terrorism, extremism, whatever the case may be, there's something that needs to be done, right? And even if you get to the root of the problem, and even if you go to the diplomatic solution of trying to, and even admitting culpability in it, but outside of all of that, you know, what do we do? What do we do, Brother Jock, in order to, yeah, we'll start the diplomatic element, but if it is an idea, rather than some mission of trying to get land and so forth, that's tough to fight.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I don't think I think that they have, in a sense, turned their ideas into reality. Right? They had this idea of terrorism, and they have turned that into reality. It's just that simple. What do we do? Do we go after them with bombs and so forth and so on? I think, you know, one thing that we have to do is we have to try to get people to understand humanity, you know, and be more humane and educate everyone on that. And what it means to be humane to one another and to love one another. A lot of people say that, oh, man, there's another guy talking about loving somebody. These guys are out here, you know, cutting off heads and doing this, that, and the other. But the reality of it is that's what it's going to take, you know. You're going to have to – we have to teach people about love and what that means, in the sense of it's a commitment to each other's life. Okay? It's saying that, hey, I might not agree with you on various different subjects, but from a fundamental sense, I must be committed to your life. And that means, you know, though I don't agree with you, I must be committed to helping you survive, to feeding you, to teaching you to a point. You understand me?
Yeah, I understand. So, Reverend Nehemiah, is that part of what you're saying about getting to the root of the problem? Is the root of the problem the lack of love or understanding humanity of really, to Jock's point, commitment to each other, really being one to another? Is that part of the root?
I think that is a part of the root, but I think, too, that we have to have, part of what Jock is saying, you have to have a healthy respect you have to have a healthy respect for your fellow man. And in doing so, you have to have a healthy respect, and that is not a submissive respect, but a healthy respect for what they believe or what another believes. And you have to know, you know, we are so ready to vilify somebody else because of what they believe. But even in Islam, they respect Christians as people of the book. That's what they call us. They call us they call us Christians, people of the book. They refer to Jesus in the Quran as a prophet. Now, we don't refer to him as a prophet, but they say that we must respect the prophet. That's how they refer to Jesus. We understand Jesus to be more than a prophet, but the Son of God. But they refer to us as the people of the book. Notice now what it says. Notice the adjective that is used there, people of the book. Not a book.
Right.
Not just in the book, but people of the book. So that lets us know that even as Christians, we hold a lofty place even in the eyes of those who we differ with on a religious or on a faith basis. So you have to, in a way, I'm not saying that you have to, like I said, I'm not saying you have to submit to it. I'm just saying you have to say, okay, hey, you have respect for me, I have respect for you. We, like we say on this program all the time when we're here, we agree to disagree, you know, without being disagreeable.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what's not happening here, that we are not agreeing to disagree without being disagreeable. And we are trying to force on people our own beliefs. Without truly having an understanding that in some cases our beliefs or our system of what we see to be right won't work everywhere.
Right.
It just won't work. Democracy will not thrive everywhere. It won't. Now an offshoot of democracy may thrive or whatever, but to try to force what we say is the way to go, it's just not going to work everywhere. And I think until we have that healthy respect, until we can, like I said, be disagree without being disagreeable, we're going to constantly run into these type of situations where we're trying to solve issues with bullets and bombs.
Right.
You know.
Reverend Nehemiah's point about democracy doesn't, the way we thrive in all places, do you see it as we're trying to, for lack of a better term, put a square peg in a round hole? Is that part of the root of the problem as well, and related to the health of respect of what's happening in their own culture and nation?
I think so. I mean, that's part of it, most definitely. Like you said, there might be various forms of government or social policies that might be offshoots of democracy or whatever that might work in different places. But what we, like you said, what we see as being right might not be the best thing for certain areas. I think once again I go back to humanity. I mean, now that's something that translates to every society, you know. I think, or at least should translate to every society, is you know, being humane, being loving one's life, you know, loving another's life, and their ability to live that life. Is that saying that, hey, no one, you know, everyone should be able to do whatever they want to do? No, that's not saying that. But, you know, like I said, humanity translates to us, or should translate to all societies. And I think what we have seen, let's call it what it is, these individuals are not humane, are not being humane. It's just that simple. There are those that, and that has nothing to do with the religion that they say they follow. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Right now they're just not being humane.
And I think too that we have to recognize as a country that this is not primarily a war between the United States and Islam. You know, it's a war. It's a war within Islam itself, for what I consider to be the soul of the faith, the soul of what they, you know, of what they believe. And I think that until Muslims and Islamic religious authorities that you have, like in Saudi Arabia and elsewhere, can offer up a true and convincing vision of Islam to the young men that are fighting in Al-Qaeda and in ISIS, you're going to lose the battle for their souls. You have to look at it like this. This is something that the Islamic community is going to have to deal with internally. There are so many different offshoots of the religion that no one can really say who is right and who is wrong. So whoever reaches the finish line first, to the winner goes the spoils. So, we have to stop looking at this, and we can't allow this to become an internal fight within the United States. We can't allow this to become an internal fight, because if we do, we're going to continue to be fighting for years, just like we're fighting ISIS now. ISIS, for the most part, was Al-Qaeda in Iraq.
Right.
And
expand on the point.
They're just reorganized and re-energized.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned we can't let this be an internal fight in the U.S. Talk about that for a second. Maybe I missed something from how you went to that point.
Okay, this is not what I was saying. Is that this is not an American government battle? Even President Obama has said that, you know, by making this the U.S. government will continue to this fight for years, if not decades, if we make this an American government battle. You know, Republicans saying one thing, Democrats saying another, Independents saying another. We're feeding, we're doing these polls about is this a fight against Islam or is this a fight against terrorism? You cannot have that internal struggle with something that doesn't have anything to do with the internal workings of our government. This is something, this is a faith issue. This is a religious issue that has to be solved by, like I said, it has to be solved by those religious leaders within the faith. It has to be solved. This is not a U.S. issue.
Let's hold for a second. Let's hold on that point for a second. So a con to that, what people will say and the audience may say, you know, if they attack the U.S., is it not then a U.S. issue?
Well, what I believe and what we have to do, it doesn't mean that we're powerless. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that if you have American national security is threatened, or I can understand a limited use of military power. However,
it has to be secondary and in support of what the local Muslim governments and local forces in the region are doing. It can't be primary. Whatever
okay.
we do cannot be primary. We cannot be the leader in this undertaking. Because, you understand, we can't, first of all, because we're not a pristine moral creature, the United States government itself. Second of all, because this is something that is going on not in our country, but it's going on elsewhere. So, we have to have a fundamental conversation amongst ourselves about what we will do if it threatens our national security. But at the same time, we have to allow these countries in these regions to deal with the issue at hand.
Okay.
And we can come in as a support, but we can't be the primary, we can't be the leader of this fight. We cannot be. If we become the leader of this fight, it's going to grow, and it's going to be just like the virus in Helix. What's the name of the show that comes on television? It'll grow. You'll be able to stop it from growing.
Okay. So we got a comment. We got a question that's on the line for us. Please state your name and what state you're from and share your perspective.
First of all, my name is Reginald Mitchell. I'd like to say good afternoon to everybody on the show.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mitchell.
And I'm calling from Montgomery, Alabama.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, but yes thanks
for
joining us. You got a comment for the Smith brothers?
I have a comment for you all. Eric,
okay.
First of all, congratulations on your books, and I think you know who I am.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
And I've been intending to listen to your show for a while, and I'm enjoying the show.
Awesome. It's more good dialogue, it's by asking some questions and really having these fruitful dialogues at the end of the day, right?
Yes, sir. My comment is that being a former military man myself, one of the things they teach us is the purpose of terrorism, and that is to instill fear for a purpose. And right now, I don't think we know what these people's purpose is. I don't know what means or objectives they're seeking here. But what I believe is that they're no more than a ragtag army. We're fighting an idea. And if you guys have noticed that in recent days they called for attacks on a mall in Minnesota and a mall in Canada. See, they're unable to reach here. So they're trying to excite things and people that are here to do these things. They can't do it. They're not equipped to.
Mm.
We're fighting an idea. We're fighting no more than the Crips and the Bloods. So we're really wasting our time with the bombs and bullets we're using over there.
Mm. Fighting the idea.
I have a question for you, Mr. Mitchell.
Yes, sir.
This is Josh Smith. What would be your solution or part of your solution?
Part of the solution is going to have to be education.
Mm.
Because, yes, sir, I don't think we, and I think one of you was speaking on this earlier about we have to respect each other's beliefs, cultures, and their understanding. I think these people in particular are doing things in the name of a religion, and we've seen that. We've seen that throughout history, across the globe, across religious lines. We've seen people do things in the name of Christianity and so forth. Mm-hmm. That's what these people represent. They're doing something in the name of a religion, and probably. Maybe half of the group is probably not even Islamic. In fact, they keep talking about how some of these beheadings, they've been able to detect that the person that's speaking is actually has an accent of maybe an American. So we're probably not even dealing with Islamic in the name that we think. At least from the Islamic terrorist standpoint, that's not even the people that we're dealing with. But they're actively recruiting. So it's going to have to be about education.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you,
Brother Mitchell. That great point, great insight. To your point, it's about inciting, instilling fear and looking for
Absolutely.
Someone to carry that out. right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know, the most important point I think that Brother Mitchell made was education. For instance, in 2011, I think we killed the with that drone strike. We killed the Islamist cleric Anwar al-Awlaki, I think was his name.
Right.
That guy was the guy that kind of inspired the Boston Marathon bombers.
Right.
Okay. But if we would have truly educated, we may have been able to stop that, because Anwar al-Awlaki was arrested in San Diego for solicitation of prostitution.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he was a cleric at the time, and prostitution is a violation of Islamic precepts. So
right.
If you put the information out, you say, well, look, this man was arrested. How can he even tell you what to do? And he was arrested for prostitution, for solicitation of prostitution. Then,
exactly.
Then you counteract his so-called lofty message of whatever he's spewing, because you're showing that he's telling you he's Islamic, but he's not.
That's right.
Because he can't even follow the precepts that are laid down. You see it all the time.
Right.
You know,
right.
So it's about education, but because the folk didn't know that, no, who knew that?
That wasn't put out.
But we'd rather go and bomb. That's big. That's a bigger bomb than
right.
Anything that you can shoot at him or because you're showing, hey, this man was arrested for solicitation of prostitution.
That's right. I think
this shows that these people aren't necessarily followers of Islam.
Right. I think to follow your point too, I think one thing you just touched on, and I think we need to understand this too. When we take people out who claim they're leaders or people that we pointed out that this is the leader of this particular fundamentalist belief or whatever, we have to understand this group is so subpar to. When we take one of them out, it's just like taking a drug dealer off of the corner, you know. It's another
right.
person waiting to step up in that place. I mean, the very next day you'll see somebody that says, okay, I am the man now, you know. So it's no more than like taking a drug dealer off of the corner. There's somebody waiting in line, there'll be somebody else to step right up. So we're not fighting people. We're fighting an idea.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Right,
and
in so many different ways, Brother Mitchell, and I appreciate that. We're coming up
yes,
on the
sir.
Break. If you hold on, we probably could bring you back in and kind of continue our dialogue. And
let me let
you
somebody
listen
else
to
answer,
on cue. Our question of the day, we have the Smith Brothers on the line. Our question of the day is, we're talking about the idea of ISIS, and are we fighting with insight, INCITE, or insight, INSIGHT? So during the break, so stay with us. Feel free to call us at 310-861-2331. This is your host, Eric Powell, on Cue, and we'll be right back.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
Lead them where they are by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue for this calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
Who is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
Hi, thanks for staying with us. You're listening on cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, to help you get on cue. Help you lead where you are. So today's question, we're talking about the ISIS idea. And do leaders fight with insight or insight? And helping us with that with you is please continue to call us at 310-861-2331. We've had some great calls so far. So helping us with that, as we always love to welcome our on-Q duo, the two of my favorite people, I love dearly, the Smith brothers, the Reverend Nehemiah and Brother Jock Smith, who always raising the conscience of those who come around then. So, brothers, thanks for staying with us, and thanks for the great dialogue prior to the break. I want to pick up a couple things there, though. We talked about the religion and of Islam and ISIS and other using this as a way of inciting fear and so forth. But the question goes to, you know, Brother Jock. I know we're trying to separate the religion of Islam with these Islamic terrorists or these terrorists. However you want to name it, but can we actually separate the two? Are they the same set of folks in the name of Islam from 9/11 to all the other bombings and so forth? Are they isn't that still the same? How do we separate the two? You're going back to the point of educating others. How would you educate someone on separating the two?
Can we separate the two? Yes, we can separate the two. There's a difference in you know, doing something like this in the name of something, okay, and believing, okay, in something, all right. If you look at the vast majority, just like anything else, right? You can't pigeonhole all of the Muslims in the world, okay, with these guys, you know. You think about the large number of Muslims in the world, and you know, should they be separated from these guys? Yes, of course they should. You know, and that's that. But you know, your base question here is, do leaders lead by insight, say INCITE? And I think leaders lead by what they do is they excite, okay, with insight. That's what leaders do.
So
you understand?
So
they don't insight, they excite.
But wouldn't that excite by insight equals insight, INCITE?
No.
Why wouldn't it?
No. Two different things.
Okay.
Inciting something means that you arouse to violence. You have a purpose.
That's
that
right.
That you're doing. To excite means to make someone enthusiastic about a particular purpose.
Okay, so let's stop right there. I believe what you just shared is the same thing, especially if the purpose of this group is the holy war. It is waged on behalf of Islam. That if you put those two definitions together with this group, they're the same thing.
No, sir.
Two different things. And now this is where we agree disagree. It's
sure.
Two different things. These guys are looking to incite violence. When you read the definition of excite, it does not speak of violence.
That's right.
Okay.
When
you incite something, your purpose, your sole purpose, one of your sole purposes is to eventually reach the end of violence.
That's right.
Okay, in some manner, or some kind of discord, in some manner. That is not part of the definition of excite. Now, you can excite to incite. Yes, you can. But the purpose of exciting is to make someone eager and enthusiastic. And these are positive words, okay? Enthusiastic about a purpose.
Okay, let me stop you right there.
Okay.
Enthusiastic about a purpose, ego about a purpose. people are coming in droves from the U.S., all sorts of places, in order to join this. You're talking about education and so forth, educating ourselves or on around this. They're winning the education battle. People still becoming part of this overall purpose.
That's not true. And even a recent purpose,
what we hear, what we've read in the news, is where they're trying to accelerate Armageddon.
Let me tell you why that's not true.
Okay.
Carter G. Woodson wrote what? What was the name of the book he wrote?
The miseducation. Okay.
The miseducation of the Negro. Is that right?
Okay.
There's a difference between education and miseducation. What these people are receiving is a miseducation, because there was a recent poll that was taken, and they were asking former Islamists, why did they leave these extremists, why did they leave these radical causes? And they said because of their un-Islamic ways. And that was the main reason, because their un-Islamic ways. They were miseducated into believing. See, people, believe it or not, it's within the human nature to follow something that sounds good. Even the word tells us that. There's a way that...
Oh, I agree with you. We've got so many examples across...
That's right. There's a way that seems right to a man, but to the end is what? But to the very end is destruction. So this is a way that seems right to these people. It seems right because it sounds good. Oh, they dress it up. Oh, you're going to be able to do this, and you're going to have this freedom. You're going to have this. And then when they get there, the reality is that that's not what it is. It's not what you told me.
But it's happening, though. Brother Nehemiah? I mean, Reverend Nehemiah,
They're still miseducated. That doesn't take away from the fact that they've been miseducated.
Let's confront the reality, though. Yeah, you may have a point, but that miseducation is waging a holy war in the name of a religion. If it's miseducational or it's good education, it's happening. It's happening.
But what I'm telling you is that in the end it won't stand. Miseducation won't stand in the end. And the reason why miseducation won't stand is because it's built on the foundation of lies. And anything that's built on a foundation of lies won't stand. The very foundation of it is sinking sand.
Okay, so you're turning it now.
It may seem as though for a while it's thriving.
So if you're to your point earlier of this is a religion of peace, the oxymoron, and this is a miseducation. There's extremists or some part of the sect who are taking their book and using it such a way to wage this war, right? But at the same time, those who are not part of this or maybe sitting idly by, why don't you see more, to your point, is their efforts, I don't know, if their efforts within this old Islamic community in order to fight a comeback, or they're just idle and lie on ISIS and others just to take over? How do you reconcile that for us right now?
How you reconcile? Say again.
Yeah, how do we reconcile that if ISIS is spreading, so they're converting folks or people have been sitting idle at this point. So this miseducation is winning. It's winning
It may seem as if though it's winning, but it's losing all along. Let me give you another example of what could possibly happen if it should go the same way. The Ku Klux Klan in America, which is one of the first terrorist groups that made the terrorist groups that you see in the world, ran off of a miseducation. They called it education, but it was really a miseducation, and it thrived for years. But when you really found out, when people really saw that they were tax evaders, that they were doing all, what was that thing they did, John, to show, how what did they say that they did to break the Klan up?
they divided. It was almost like a divide and conquer strategy.
Right, it was a divide and conquer strategy that they used. That they didn't have to drop a bomb. They didn't have to go through these any long gunfights with them. All they did was they turned their ideology against them.
Okay.
So they thrived for a minute. As a matter of fact, North Carolina had 60,000 card carrying members. They had more members for the Klan in North Carolina than they had anywhere in the United States.
I agree with you, Nehemiah, and I see your point and I see the parallels. But there are some quite differences here, right? There are some stark differences here because these individuals, they're not only just in a nation, but they're across multiple nations. The Klan was strictly on race and suppressing the people like us. But they claim to be waging that war that they wage is not like this holy war that ISIS is waging.
That's what the Klan called the war against blacks and Jews and non-whites. They called it a holy war, a war to save the souls of America, because they said it's really not a difference. There's really not a difference, even though it was in the United States. It really served to bring terror to anybody that they consider non-white. These people are trying to bring terror to anybody that doesn't believe as they believe, so they say. But when you really look at the very structure of these organizations, they are, for instance, when you look at the Taliban sold narcotics and they had a illegal oil trade going on. Okay, those things are against what they say. They say they're Islamic, but that goes against Islamic beliefs.
Let me test you on something, Reverend Nehemiah. You know,
sure.
These individuals, some people are calling this random because ISIS and others are attacking everybody. They're attacking all religions, even their own. And they believe they could take over and start a war and start accelerating the end of the world. That's what some reports are. And they're ready to fight that final battle. Right, and they feel they'll win. That's not the Klan. That's not the Klan.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the Klan. This group is trying to accelerate Armageddon. That's what the reports are saying. That's what they've said on the news and in some of their recordings. So I see the parallels, but they're so different. And even this is a fundamental belief. That's why, you know, they're fighting anybody and everybody who essentially is going to stand in their way and spreading, and it's their duty to do this. Even though, yeah, it is a religion of peace, but there's instances where in there that excites this type of violence.
Well,
I'm not trying to go against the religion or so, but there's a lot of parameters here. There's some things we can learn from.
It's not the religion that's inciting the violence, because if that was the case, you would have to say that Christianity incited the Crusades. These were people who were misdirected, or the Spanish Inquisition. These people who, like you said, use a religion or use a faith to hide behind ulterior motives.
Yeah, I heard there have been some battles and conversations recently. Regarding President Obama sharing that at the prayer breakfast, I believe, and I understand the whole notion of comparing this to the Crusades, and you know, and there may be some stark comparisons, but also understand what the Crusades were also, fighting against the same set of group, same religion who has spread across Europe and other places as well. So it's a cycle again. So we can't just pinpoint and say, I know that we're not trying to judge anybody. This is what this is not all about. I'm just saying that we can't continue to use those anecdotal points in order to prove a perspective. We got to find a solution here, and it's not by manly means. It's not by manly means, but it is this group, in their mind, is fighting a holy war. And how do we shift the perspective of our leaders in order to understand how and what do you use in these types of wars?
And that's why I said earlier that the United States cannot. It is not our war. It is not our war to fight. That's what we have to understand. This is not our war to fight. While the United States can help to expose their corruption,
it has to be up to Muslims themselves to expose how and why their ideas are not the true and purest Islam.
So are they doing that?
And I'm sure there are those who are doing it, and it may be a small voice in the wilderness, but that's where it starts.
Okay.
It was a small voice. It was a small voice in the wilderness that said that wrote the letter from the Birmingham jail. That was a small voice in the wilderness because guess what? The NAACP was against him. The Christian ministers were against him. Baptist ministers were against him. Let's be real about it. Let's not get all hunky dory now and say, oh, we loved him, because we didn't. As a whole, we didn't. So guess what? He was a small voice in the wilderness. And I'm sure there are small voices out there in the Muslim community, in the Islamic community, who are saying, this is not Islam. This is not Islam. This is not Islam. And eventually, their voice will overbear the voices of those who are trying to use these people's faith to hide behind while they have ulterior motives. My thing is, why they're holding people for ransom, saying that we need more money.
So what happens if it's not the U.S. war, and if they're calling for bombings in malls in the U.S. or if they're calling for bombings and all over the place, so you're saying the U.S. is staying idle?
What I say is, you have to be. Of course, we got to be vigilant, right?
Right, you do.
You have to be. But you can't look at these guys and honestly tell me, oh, these guys are this is pure Islam and these guys are this. Like we said before, these guys are terrorists. They look to instill fear in people. If they were so devout in their beliefs, then why have a ransom? Why ask for ransom? Why take money?
Right.
You know, if you so devout in your beliefs, then, hey, you're going to be provided for anyway.
Yeah.
Am I correct?
The idea
is still spreading. We can make the parallel.
And so guess what? Guess who it's spreading?
People are moving. It's still spreading.
What's spreading, y'all? Guess what it's spreading to? Weak-minded people. Might not even be wicked yet. They weak-minded. You know what I mean? That's who it's spreading to. You look at the backgrounds of a lot of these people that we have caught over here, that they've caught in other places, you know, for some odd reason, you know, with something that went wrong with them or you know, it was kind of...
They killed a 15-year-old. A 15-year-old, these are the people that they attract, 15-year-old, somebody that their parents have no control in the household. You know, they let the kids do whatever they want to do, that kind of thing. Weak-minded people. It's not grabbing anybody with any strong sense of understanding and reality.
Nehemiah, this is what we've been talking about. This is what our ministry is about. It is that gap. You know, yeah, we can sit and say that they're after weak-minded people, but they're becoming more weak-minded people out there because of lack of the word. The gap is growing.
So what is the purpose?
Let me finish. We can't sit back and say, yeah, we should ignore it either because they're going after weak-minded people. Those weak-minded people, there's more of them.
They're
out there waiting for a purpose. How do we combat that?
Eric, so my thing is this. Mr. Mitch called in earlier. What's the prevailing theme here about how to combat that? Even you.
Education.
Okay. Mr. Mitchell said, you know, we got to educate.
Yep.
Right? Isn't that what he said? You said you created this whole program which is aimed at what?
Education.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? That's how we combat that. We have to educate people. Nehemiah, I spoke of it. You know, educate people about what has really happened. What these people are really about.
And I say
this, you know, you look at these guys, we are Americans. And we must remain vigilant, right?
Right.
But these people are killing Muslims every day.
Every
day. The guys, the Christians that they killed, you know, what was it, 21 of them? I think it was something like that.
Right.
Man, they kill hundreds of Muslims every day. And do you know why they kill them? Because those people have their devout beliefs, and they know that these guys are a sham.
Are a sham, and those people are willing to die for what they believe rather than convert to this foolishness.
Okay, great point.
They are not weak-minded.
Just hold on one
second. They are not weak-minded. Right,
we have a call on, and this is on cue. Please state your name and you state where you're coming from. You got a comment, a question? Did we lose them? They're on. This is on cue. All right, sorry about that, Jen. So we'll continue on. You're right. I do, and I understand that, but we have to make sure that even my question for you now, we've talked about the Muslims' role. We've talked about the potential U.S. role. What about the role of we Christians? What's our role in this?
To educate and to say that, hey, what you do over there to the devout Muslims, and, you know, you got these people that's calling you a sham, and they're devout Muslims over there, I'm going to call you a sham too, because I'm a devout Christian, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we must educate. We must state what we believe. We must be willing to state what we believe.
That's right.
Okay.
And we cannot be afraid to express what we know to be right. You cannot be afraid of that. And I think that we are operating whenever we do not express what we believe based on what we say are our Christian beliefs, we are operating from a position of fear. And
right.
God did not give us a spirit of fear. So
you're
know,
saying that we are operating, or are you saying we shouldn't? I missed that. I'm sorry.
I'm saying that whenever we do not express what we believe from a Christian perspective, we are operating from a position of fear. And God did not give us the spirit of fear. Because it's easy to go out here and grab a bomb and say, okay, we'll bomb this out of existence. But like you said, an idea. How do you bomb out an idea? You bomb out an idea with education.
Are we doing that? I know you can't speak for everybody, but just your sense. Are we doing that? Are we operating in boldness and not out of fear in order
No, what we see as boldness is not boldness. It is fear. It is fear, and it is fear because we are not educated. We don't understand fully, and we are not leaning. The understanding to which we are leaning is an understanding that says, "Hey, if they do this, you go and you kill them. You go and you bomb them, because you can bomb this thing out of existence, and you can't. And you have so many voices out there that are telling us, "Hey, look, you got to understand what's going on. You need to understand the milieu, the environment." You need to know the cultural milieu, the cultural environment. You need to know the religious environment. You need to understand what these people are going through economically. You need to understand what they're going through socially. You need to understand their ideas of what leadership is. You need to understand how they see others that are outside. But more important, like Jock said, I think Jock made perhaps the most poignant point of the night is that so many that every day you are having Muslims who are being killed all over the world by these people, and especially in certain regions. And these are people who are fundamentally sound in their faith, and their faith will not be shaken by what they know to be a sham. these people know this is not Islam. This is some foolishness. And another thing, that is why you find those people who are sound in their faith get so upset with us because of the way we try to label the people who are killing them. We just, oh, they're Islamic extremists. And, no, and you hear it all the time. You just say, these people are not Islamic. No, they are not. You hear it all the time. I've seen it on CNN. I've seen it on Newsweek. I've seen it on 60 Minutes. On all these shows, when they really talk to those people who are sound in their faith, the first thing they say is, we want you to stop calling these people Islamic extremists because they have nothing to do with Islam.
Well, Neil, let me test you on that just for a second.
That is an education. That is an
education. I understand. Let me test you on that.
Us, but we're not giving it to the people.
I understand. Let me test you on that just for a second. Where we, the notion is we shouldn't say Islamic extremists. But in the same notion, we've said it tonight. We've heard the president say it. We've heard call the crusaders Christian extremists. So help me reconcile that. So why would the crusaders be Christian extremists and this group not be Islamic extremists?
They were Christian extremists. Because guess what? I didn't say that they were Christian extremists.
I'm saying that the whole narrative around it is we're not saying it's Islamic extremists, but then the same group that said it also called Christian extremists. From the crusade. I'm just trying to make sure we reconcile. I know we're working with semantics.
Oh, it can't be reconciled. It's an oxymoron. It's an oxymoron. How can you be Christ? It's crazy. That is crazy. And so that's why I say you have to, in the beginning, my first thing was that you have to change the vocabulary. You have to look at what you are saying. There's life and death in the tongue. The word says that. There's life and death in the tongue. And so because that is so, you can, you know, we're calling these people Islamists, and these people are not Islamic. The one thing that about when you look at Saddam Hussein, let me tell you something. I doubt if he even followed Islam. That joker let me tell you something. He was one of the guys that said, "Hey, I got to keep the peace," and I'm not justifying what the guy did. I'm just saying he knew what he was dealing with, and he had a way to deal with
it. Sure,
but we have to allow these people in these Islamic countries to deal with the issue the best way they know how, which is through education, and that is through exposing these terrorists as non-Islamic people, that these are some thugs. They are out here. They're trying to cause disruption. They are anarchists. This is what they are. These are the words that we should be using. But we are so bent on destroying somebody else's faith that we will use that to what we see as calling them out, while at the same time it's fertilizer. On the week,
you Nehemiah. You know, don't take my pushback. It's just making sure that people understand, because there's a lot of views out there, right, brothers? There's a lot of views out there, and I'm just testing you on that, just to make sure that we continue to educate along the way. And let's shift just for a second. We spent most of the show talking about the insight, INCITE. And we shifted a little bit to the insight, INSIGHT. But also when you think about the insight, we talk about foresight, things to come, you know, divine predictions, the foretelling, things that are holy, right? So what do we know of what the word says about the future of things that may to come, or what should we be doing? Understanding, or what our leaders need to arm themselves with, not only just, you start with education, and then, but then what's next? What is that next thing in order to make sure that we go into this with a insightful, a holy perspective?
I think that if you are looking at it from that perspective, the one thing that we have to realize is that we know not, you know, I guess for predictions or whatever. I'm not really into predictions. I'm into seeing it for what it is. Like, for instance, we had a gentleman here who predicted the end of the world twice. Okay. Well, it shows that we are not following the book, because the book says we know not the day nor the hour that the Son of Man shall come. So, however, it does give us signs. It tells us about signs, you know, that near the end of time there'll be wars and rumors of wars, that you'll only know the changing of the seasons by the leaves on the tree. Those types of things. So, yeah, you know, it is what it is, but I don't think that that should stop us from living. I don't think it should stop us from trying to do, trying to educate, trying to bring people into the marvelous light, you know, pulling back the veil of ignorance that exists in the world on a day-to-day basis, that we have to continue to do the good work. What does it say? It's work while it is day, because when it is night, no man can do work. So while it is day, and it is day for us, we have to continue to work. We have to continue to educate. And by educating is a part of being insightful, insight, if you will. Educating is a part of being insightful. As a matter of fact, when you are insightful, that is one of the things that you are doing. Insight itself, I was reading something that I think insight means the capacity to gain an accurate and intuitive understanding of a person or thing, and that is all of what education is about, is garnering an accurate and deep understanding of a person or thing. And so, if we are to combat this thing, if we are to be a part of making this this thing that is going on a lie, and showing the world and showing the people that is a lie, we have to have a greater and more accurate and deep intuitive understanding of what it is.
I know, and Jock, I'll go to you for a second.
Okay.
But I want a perspective.
Here's my perspective.
And it may help. You can guide your point or go towards or use it in such a way. We talked about put on different lenses, give it a different lens. So let's put on the gospel lens on this going forward. And Job, maybe that's where you were headed. What should we? Yeah, there's education, but what should we be doing, leading in this? So,
here's what we should be leading from a Christian standpoint. Okay, whether it's, so you got what? You got foresight, you got insight, and you got hindsight. Okay? And with all of those, whether you're looking at the past, the present, or the future, what we need to be concerned about as Christians is getting a point across. Is it sin or death? Which gives God his eternal life through Jesus Christ, right? That's in Romans. Okay? Am I correct? That's what we need to be focused on. That's what we need to be focused on now. That's what we should have been focused on in the past. And that's what we better be focused on in the future.
That's right.
Period.
And I'll follow you, but even if you can tie it to what do we should be? Yeah, we focus on that, and understanding that what specific, what's that next level of things, and we need to do, and as we engage this process, because we can't stand idly by. We can't.
And so,
I don't believe.
So,
tell me if I'm wrong. If we should be standing idly by watching this.
So here's my question to you is, I think, and this is what I'm gathering by your question, okay, is that, and we talk about this, you and I talk about this a lot.
Sure.
I think that your question is, what you're picking at is, what should somebody else be doing? Or what should these people that we call our leaders be doing?
But my thing is,
what are we doing? We are doing something. You and I and Nehemiah and those that might be in our immediate circle, we are doing something. You're not standing idly by. I mean, you just wrote a book. You're not standing idly by. You're trying to educate people. You're trying to educate people about leadership through Christ. You're not standing idly by. We're not standing idly by. Nehemiah is there educating people and giving people sustenance, trying to feed people.
I agree with you.
You understand? I mean,
I agree with you. But I guess my question more goes towards, you know, we're not.
What should we as a nation be doing? Is that what you're asking?
We're not in diplomacy talks. We're not in the groups that come together trying to solve or making decisions around this.
Mm-hmm.
What should our leaders who are in this process be doing?
Well, you know, there was a situation like this in the Bible that everybody around Jesus was arguing about what should be, and yet he said nothing. He was silent. He said not a mumbling word. And pretty soon, guess what happened? What happened to the woman that they were about to stone for adultery? Jesus didn't say anything. Did he? Everybody had a voice. Stone her. Kill her.
No.
And all he did, he stooped down and he started drawing in the sand. And it says, but when he looked up, everybody was gone.
Right.
Everybody was gone. And so you look at it, the bramble. Why add to the bramble? Everybody was, this is what we should do. This is what we should do. It's just like the commercial that you see on TV that everybody's trying to give this man his financial advice, even when he goes into the bathroom, he goes into the, have you seen that commercial?
Yeah, I do, and I see your point of, but
and,
I'm
and
not,
so
I don't,
like,
when judging,
how
though,
you,
he said he who without sin, cursed to cast the first stone, but it doesn't stop us from being idle, though, Nehemiah.
No, I
understand. I'm not saying go out and judge and say, you know, I need to be doing this. I'm talking about engaging in this.
But my
he
thing
does
is,
call
is
us to go forth
are,
and go
what
eat.
I keep telling you, what I keep bringing to the forefront, Eric, is why are you engaging? Why are you engaging in a fight? Why are you trying to be the primary voice in a fight that is not your fight to fight? We are leaning to our own understanding of what these people are doing. That would be just like me. You got an issue in your house, and I'm over here saying, this is what I think you should do, Eric. Well, guess what? I'm not in your house. Does that mean that I allow the, hey, man, I might say something like, hey, man, you know, Eric, you know, hey, man, pray about it, man. You know, do what you got to do. Hey, if you ever need any help with anything, call me, let me know. But it's not my fight. It's not mine. It's not my fight to solve. It's not my issue to solve. But at the same time, by adding too much to it, I can exacerbate the issue.
Okay.
By putting in my 2 cents and finding out, look, we ain't not dealing with no dollars. We're dealing with drachmas here. Nobody want to hear about no dollars. What you talking about, man?
I see your point, and I see your point, and
I'm advocating standing idly by, but how do you address something that really doesn't concern you, that you don't understand?
I don't know if it doesn't concern me. I don't know if I totally agree with that at this point, because you know, as believers. As we talked about, as you use our Lord and Savior, where he reconciled us to God, and then he wants us to use him to reconcile ourselves to each other, and that includes everybody. I'm not saying go with bombs and bullets and that type of thing. I'm talking about how do we engage folks as brothers and sisters?
Hey,
not befriend them on Facebook, but be brother them. What do we do? That's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying being in their fight trying to solve their problem, but how do we go ye and engage? And so we can continue what the Christ has come to this world for, to reconcile ourselves to each other. Yeah. Therefore, the Lord can reconcile the full body of Christ through him. That's what I'm talking about.
And so my thing is this. I realize what you're saying. Keep asking the question of, you know, or keep making the statement of us standing idly by and what should our leader be doing and this and that. First off, and this might be alpha, it might not be, you know, but first of all, and this kind of goes to what Nehemiah said. Some of those guys, you don't want to say anything anyway. Because guess what? They're not working from a Christian's perspective themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this problem is not going to be, the reality of this thing is, this problem is not going to be solved, okay, by anybody in a diplomatic environment, you know, in some chamber somewhere. It's not going to be solved there, whether it's in the United States, in Europe, or even in the Middle East. It's not going to be solved at some parliamentary event or happen. It's going to be solved by the everyday person that's experiencing this, by these everyday people that are going through this.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's going to be solved by. It's going to be solved by people like you and me and Nehemiah through education, through helping to bring people to Christ. That's what it's going to be solved by.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not looking to Washington to solve this problem because guess what?
Right? I know that's right.
That's where your whole point comes from about the bombs and the bullets and this.
Yeah.
Obviously they can't. They don't have the right people with the right frame of mind in the right meeting.
Yep. Okay. In the right season. We got there,
saying,
brother.
And the thing about it is, hey, yeah, man, we strategy guys and we do this and this is how we're gonna do this and you know, here recently, there's gonna be our strategy for Mosul, right? Where the Islamic State is now or really have a real stronghold at Mosul, right?
Right.
Okay. They still talking about bombs and bullets. And this and the other. So obviously you don't have the right people. If you're looking for the answer that we know is right and is true, you don't have the right people, right?
Sure, I got it. This has been great. I know that we're getting there, and I'm glad for the audience for staying. It was this night. We're a little long, and our brothers, I really appreciate it, as we always do. We're talking to the dynamic Smith brothers, Reverend Nehemiah and Brother Jock Smith, who always, and as you can see, raising the consciousness and providing a voice and everywhere they go. And if you ever want to reach out and touch base with these brothers, Reverend Nehemiah, can you give some contact information or where to find your website? So do you, Brother Jock.
Because these
brothers, if you want to have a dialogue about some truth and have a good perspective, these are the two to kind of continue to sharpen your eyes, and you see why we always have. We've had these dialogues forever, and so we're just glad and fortunate that we can have it on the media that we're on right now. So, Reverend Nehemiah, can you talk about kind of give us a perspective of how people can touch and contact you?
Oh, yeah, you can reach me at my email address at theweeklydefender@gmail.com. That's the theweekly. Defender @gmail.com, and you can also get me on the on my Facebook just look up Nehemiah Smith Jr. and you'll be able to find me. You can contact me through that.
Absolutely, thank you, Brother Jock.
J Smith, that's JSMITH6758@gmail.com.
And of course, you know, I'm behind, guys. I don't have a Facebook page. I don't have to deal with that.
I know. But we'll have it on soon. But anyway, you can always use me as a conduit to contact both these brothers. You ever want them to speak and have a perspective for you? Hey, brothers, thank you. And we for your love and support in all this time. And I know that, you know, we've had these dialogues and always want to make sure we bring in all the perspectives along the way. And I thank you once again. And I really, really and truly do.
All right, bro.
Thank you.
Great
hey, thank
man.
You. And so that's Brother Jock and Reverend Nehemiah Smith, who are always, always full of insight. And always full of great things to say and questions in order to kind of bring a topic to life. So I think all those who chimed in tonight, I know we went over a little bit over, and I think those who called in and those we were not able to get to on the line because it was rich, rich dialogue. And so until next week, we'll see you, and Kennedy's going to close us out.
Before we go, we would like to thank our special guests, Reverend Nehemiah and Jock Smith. We thank you for tuning in. We hope that our ministry helps you get on cue with the Lord. I have an ask for all of you. Put us on your prayer list. Like us on Facebook at On Cue Radio and follow us on Twitter at Cue Leadership. Invite a friend to listen to this show and to next week's show. If you're a leader in the church, on the field, at work, at home, in the community, or anywhere, consider us to enhance your leadership. For more information, go to our website, www.cueleadership.org or .com. If you would like to be a sponsor, please email us at onq@qleadership.com. Also, buy my dad's book, The Leader in the Mirror, released on February 5th. We give all honor and praise to Christ our Savior. I'm sure my dad thanks his producer assistant, me, his better half, best friend and wife, my mom, my little sister, Carson, all of our family, friends in life, and on Facebook. We dedicate the show to all the insightful leaders out there. This has been On Cue Radio. Until next week, get on cue with God's will. Get on cue with God's calling on your life, and get others on cue with that calling.
How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated?
You lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue that is calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue. Let us help you get on cue.